It is the news, according to me. And it's just me, all by my little lonesome here in the little rubber room. Because, well, I can only tell you why with a song. Because the TNA singers were here earlier, and they felt my pain. They shared my anguish that Rabbi Rick was unable to make it in tonight. May not be able to make it in tomorrow night, and probably not Friday night. I have to have a chat with his boss. His boss is getting in the way. To set him down and tell him how this is going to work. Because this is the little song that the singers made up today that I thought was very fitting.
Rabbi Rick has left the building.
Yeah, that's what they did. They left the building. He left the building. Actually, he never got to the building. That's probably more of the issue. So Rabbi Rick will not be with us this evening. He has apparently more important things to do. So I'm just going to jump right into it and see if I get inspired. This morning, I thought I would just do a 15-minute show. Of course, I always do that, and then I end up talking for an hour. I don't know, something just, you know, I just get inspired. I get inspired by the fact that there are people out there listening. And I want to confirm that I am very... I'm very grateful to those of you who are listening on a regular basis, apparently, because of the numbers that seem to be telling the story. I can see, well, for instance, let me take a look at something here. We have, I have analytics. I can look at analytics. I can look at how many different countries this podcast has been heard in. Most of them don't speak English, so I'm assuming that they're getting something out of that. And if my internet was any faster, I could actually pull this up very quickly and tell you how many different countries there are. I know that, some people in the United States have heard us. That's nice, since I am in the United States. It's kind of nice. Home country. Canada. And a few from Canada, which really isn't a country. I guess it is. I'll call it Canada. We'll call it Canada. Canadity. So there's that. And then there's also some other countries as well, if this thing would pull it up. And I know Australia is one, New Zealand, I believe, New Zealand. I'll have to verify that if it ever comes up before the end of the show here. Oh, well, that's something. I've got mail. So we have that. We have also Finland, Romania, Russia. I'm sure it's someone from the Trump campaign. And some interesting stuff's going on. I really do appreciate people listening. And it's obvious that within the most recent episodes, here's how I know that this is, because I'm a statistical analysis individual. I analyze statistics. I can't spell statistics. So, but I analyze them, even though I don't know what they're telling me. I look at them. I can gaze at them for hours. I have no idea. No, I'm not a guy. I'm not that guy. But it does tell a story. And here's what I believe the story is telling me. I think if the story is being truthful with me, I hope it is. The numbers of people watching the most recent episodes are very consistent. So, in other words. And they're basically increasing on a regular basis. Like, I think some people are actually binge watching or binge listening. I guess they are. They're not watching. Or if they're watching, it's pretty boring because they're just looking at a podcast player. But they, if you're into that, okay, whatever. People are listening on a regular basis, and sometimes they're listening to two or three episodes at a time because, within just a 24-hour period, typically, sometimes 48 hours, the most recent episodes go up in listens quite dramatically. Like, they pass up all the older ones very quickly now, which means people are listening to the most, within the last 2 weeks, listeners are listening to the most recent episodes, which is pretty, that's kind of exciting. Kind of exciting. I know most of you don't find the same exhilaration that I do in that, but hey, you know, just humor me for a minute. So I'm going to take a sip of some sweet tea. It's iced tea because it's only 13 degrees outside. And so I found plenty of ice to make my iced tea. Matter of convenience. Now, today it actually got up to about 35 degrees, I think, outside. It's just going to be the last day above freezing, I think, for the next week or at least. We're going to see some single-digit numbers coming to this part of the neck of the nap. I was looking at, I got a friend of mine up in Grand Rapids. He said they're having some negative numbers up there. And I might have to go to Appleton, Wisconsin next week, or possibly Milwaukee. Probably Milwaukee, I would think. I wouldn't have to go to Appleton. They're having, I looked at their forecast. Next week, they have some negative 17 lows. Negative, like that's less than temperature. There's like, if there's no temperature, there's actually less than temperature. It's negative. It sucks the temperature out of you because it's negative. So if you have temperature, it takes it away from you. It's ridiculous. Who thought of that? So I don't really want to go up there. And I imagine Milwaukee won't be a whole lot warmer because I don't even want to know. I just don't even want to know. But I'm sure whatever day I have to go up there, it will probably be the coldest day of the year. I'm pretty sure of that. If I think that way, then when I get up there and it's not, if there's a colder day, then I feel like, you know, then I feel better about myself. If I just accept the fact that it could be the worst day of the year to be up there, and it doesn't, it's not, well then, I feel better about it. Sort of like, I'm going to hit my thumb with a hammer, because it feels better than hitting my head. That's kind of the same kind of logic. Of course, yeah, I have hit my head with a hammer, so I would know the difference. I was going to say, if I don't know the difference, you know, maybe I should try it. But I don't have, I'm pretty sure I've hit my head with a hammer multiple times. And I'm pretty sure it hurt worse than my thumb. But I don't know, it's close. Boy, that's got to be close, because I just recently hit my thumb with a hammer just about a month ago, and I actually hit it twice. First time was pretty painful. I wasn't done with the project, and I kept working away, and next thing you know, I hit it again at the same spot, and I think it was 10 times worse the second time because it was already sore, and now it's, then it got really sore. And it wasn't like, it didn't destroy my thumb or anything. And I just have a, you know, I've got like a weird looking fingernail now, thumbnail, which is, it's not that bad. So I think I'm going to be okay. Don't settle down. Don't, everybody settle down. I'm okay. Don't have to call anybody. I'll be fine. I'm sure you're all worried. So I'll get into this. The interesting, you know, one of the things I think that I don't do enough of on this show is talk about solutions to all the problems. We talk about the problem a lot. And we don't really talk about the solution very often. Probably because the solution, you know, the most convenient one that I can think of, probably would land me in jail. So I don't want to use that. That's kind of a last resort. So the, or at least next to the last. I'm not sure exactly. I want to leave at least some space open for possible other last resort. Because I can't think of anything, but, you know, just in case I do. Ah, sweet tea. So I had this interesting, and I can't find the, I'm looking for the more than the headline. I saw a headline earlier of this Democrat senator, or no, Democrat, I think it was a Democrat congresswoman. Sounds like she may be leaving the Democrat Party. She's at least going to leave the caucus, probably, is my guess. Because it sounds like she's not real happy about the way the party is going. And I get that. The Democrat Party is certainly not the party of JFK anymore. And, you know, I'm not a big JFK fan, but I think he was probably the last Democrat that actually understood, at least understood the Constitution and the rights of the people. And I quote him a lot only because I'm hoping that the Democrats will at least draw a bridge there. When I say that he actually said that when the rights of one man are threatened, no, when the rights of one man are diminished, the rights of every man are threatened. And how apropos that is for us today. I'm hearing a lot of peeling off by the left of the, well, someone actually confronted the press secretary, I guess is what I'll call her. Jen Pacirclebacki. She apparently was asked the question about the whole Twitter thing and how the administration feels about all these censoring and all the stuff that's going on, and she basically spun off of that and said it doesn't. They're going to do what they're going to do, isn't there? You know, that's and this is, well, I'm not going to get into that tonight. It's where it's heading is a rather, I'm going to be talking about it tomorrow morning on tomorrow morning's show. Talking about big tech and the direction that they are heading and what the implications are of that and how we should probably prepare for that, because this is going to be very difficult going forward. As much stuff as we have online, and I'll just take this opportunity. I'm going to briefly mention it here. I am going to be launching another podcast called The Conspiracy. It's the conspiracy with a question mark, and it's just going to be conspiracy stories. There's scads of them out there, and every day I will read a quick little story on conspiracies, and. It's going to lead up to a book that I'm in the process of trying to finish. May take another 6 months. I hope not. I've got kind of a deadline of 3 months, 90 days from, well, actually 90 days from the beginning of this month. So by the end of, well, this is February. Yeah, so March, April. By the end of April, if I can afford to pay my taxes on the 15th, I'll be able to get the book done, get it out there, and this is hopefully going to be part of that whole process. But the podcast is kind of connected to that book a little bit, because the name of the book is going to be called The Conspiracy as well, with a question mark. And it's going to have some answers in it about the conspiracy. And they are real answers, not just hokey-pokey Alex Jones stuff. And Alex Jones is fine. He's interesting. Interesting character. Quite the showman. A little bit out there on some of his ideas. But that's, you know, and like I say, he says a lot of things that are on, too. So we'll just go with that. So we have this issue of this Democrat congresswoman who is talking about leaving the party. And her concern is that the party has left her. She's been there for a long time. She's been a long time congresswoman, which of course we wouldn't have the issue if there were term limits. Nancy Pelosi literally scowls at the idea that if anybody talks about term limits, because you know she'd be out, she'd be done. She made a comment about that a while back when, I believe it was, when was it? She made a comment about term limits. What did I just do? I just clicked on a thing. I was trying to look for this thing of her saying something. Anyway, she said something about term limits. There was a thing that came out about term limits, and she got like livid. Oh, she said something about retiring. She said that she was going to retire if Hillary would have been president. Now, I don't know if she's going to do that if if Comey gets into office here in the next couple of weeks or not. I don't know if she's going to plan on retiring in the next term or not. She needs to. So I don't know. I don't know if you guys heard that or not. This video came on. So, very distracting. For me anyway. And so the party is, the Democrat Party seems to be lockstep all the time. I do want to say this. There is a lot of drama going on in the Democrat Party. There are people who are in the party who are very uncomfortable with where things are. This one congresswoman who came out, and I can't find anything about her on my headlines right now. I don't know what her name is. All I saw was the headline by the Epic Times, and I did not get to see the actual name of the person. So that's what I'm looking for now, and I do not see it. So I apologize for that. I thought I could find that, but I don't see it. A couple things that are in the news today that are kind of big. Mayor Lightfoot, I think is her name, Lori Lightfoot, up in Chicago, now is pushing back the unions up in the teachers' unions up in Chicago. My understanding is they are pushing to keep kids on virtual school, not so that the teachers don't have to go back to school. The CDC today came out and said that teachers do not need to be vaccinated. They're not priority in the vaccination chain. And teachers, of course, are pushing back on, or teachers' unions are pushing back on that, as well as now all of a sudden it's okay to be back in class. Now, I know that I don't remember who it was that was filling in. I can never remember his name. It was filling in for Rush today. And it amazes me, if you listen to this morning's show. Now keep in mind, I recorded that this morning, I think at around 8:30 or 9 o'clock Eastern time. I'm amazed sometimes at the analogies and the references that are made on Rush Limbaugh, and either by Rush or by his guests, that are so similar to things I say. It's uncanny. When I was just listening I only got to listen to about an hour of it. It was off and on, and I listened to parts of it. It wasn't all 1 hour at one time, but you know, there's a couple times I was in my car listening, and there was a couple times when I was able to listen via my app on my phone. And I'm so often, I'm so shocked by things that I say in the morning that's not normal. It's not like just normal stuff, not things that I would just be talking about, but things that actually, like an analogy I'll make, or a reference that I'll make to something else, like an example that I'll pull out. And it never seems to fail. Almost every day, I'll hear an example that is exactly like what I said on Limbaugh's show. And I find that pretty cool, actually, that the thinking, you know, that I'm thinking down that track is kind of fun. Now, if I'm just talking about the same subjects, I get that. That's not such a coincidence. But it's pretty coincidental if I say something that's like an example, just pull an example out of my head, and then someone else does the same thing. It's pretty amazing. Now, I will say that there are times after I've listened to Rush's show that I do have those things on my mind. It's one of the things, if you don't catch it, one of his tags at bumpers at the end of his segments, sometimes he'll say, especially at the very beginning, and he used to say this quite a bit, the beginning of Rush's show, it would say, basically to all, it was a message to all the other radio jockeys out there. It would say, your show prep starts now. Most people won't catch that. Most people will not understand what he's talking about with that. And what he's really talking about is people listen to what Rush is saying. In other words, he's the tip of the spear. He's the guy, and it's kind of, he has another one called Tomorrow's, read about it in tomorrow's news after we talk about it today. Basically, he's out there on the cutting edge. He is the master of show prep. He's talking about stuff as it's happening or right when it happens. And he's on top of so many different things. Now, he has, I'm assuming, he has some staff helping him with his show prep. He's got a very, not a large organization, but he's got some very sharp people working with him. People call screeners, and I don't have any call screeners here. I just, no, anybody can call. 574-742-6748. You can call that number, or you can text in, and I might not answer because I'm busy doing the show. But I might not be, and I might answer, or you can leave a message, and I might. I haven't even checked my messages lately. I wonder if anybody's texted in. I was asking about people texting in, who maybe somebody who knows something about the issues with this test. Apparently, the test that people take for COVID can detect all kinds of strains that we don't even know are out there. And I don't know how it does that. Is there some kind of a marker? Is there some kind of a, you know, because it's like a, what is it? It's not a PSA test, but whatever it is, it's a PC whatever test that they test for. So is the number of something in there tell you that whether or not your immunities are going crazy for a certain type of virus? And if it's not this, it's that. If it's low on the chart, that means there's a different virus that you're getting something. I don't know. Tell me, I want to know. So that's all I know about that stuff. Well, so the interesting part of this whole conversation here that I'm having with myself is that the Democrat Party is heading down a very dangerous road, in my opinion. Nancy Pelosi used to be able to put the brakes on some things. She knew that they could talk tough on guns, but they didn't want to go there because she knows that there are Democrats, not just Republicans. There are a lot of Democrats who are also Second Amendment people. There's one thing that they will disagree with them on. And that is one thing that I think probably would cause a bit of division within the Democrat Party. However, Nancy is feeling more and more pressure. Now, would Nancy want to have that done? Does she want to see the Second Amendment abolished and to have guns taken away? Absolutely, she does. And Barack Obama did too. Now, I had leftists that would, when I used to be dumb enough to actually have conversations on Facebook about political stuff, there were leftists who would, sometimes they would even cuss me out about, Brock's not going to take your guns. He's not going to take your guns. And here's the thing. If he could have, he would have. If he could have gotten away with it, he would have done it. If they could, and the only thing holding them back from, and this is where we're headed, though. You have to realize, eventually, this is what they want to do. Right now, they just are unable to do it at the moment because of all the other stuff going on. But that is what they want to do. And they're going to go through, of course, now they've got the issues of ammunition. They've tried to go through ammunition and taxing ammunition and doing all kinds of things to restrict the all the stuff. It just, anything that has anything to do with a firearm, they want to do something to cause it to be restrictive. And once they figure out how to do that, they will do it. It's just a matter of how they're going to get, accomplish all that stuff, because they definitely have the political will to do it. So If you look at some of the other countries, like Canada, believe it or not, Canada is very restrictive in gun control. Australia is extremely, of all places, Australia is very restrictive with gun rights. Britain is, you basically, if you even look at a gun, you're pretty much going to go to jail. Some places like that. Now, there are some places, I'm not sure if Indonesia, there's some places in the Eastern Islands, Asian Islands, whatever they call them, out in that area, I think it's East Asia Islands. I'm not sure what they call them down there. Speaking of which, Indonesia, we have had listeners in Indonesia. We have had listeners in Australia, Nigeria. Of course, I'm sure they're, who knows? It could be people actually listening, or it could be people trying to send me, inquiries for money. Venezuela, also, believe it or not, has been listening. Venezuela. The United States, we have 1,731 listeners there. Got Canada, of course. Russia is one. Finland, United Kingdom. France. Italy. And Romania. I don't know if I mentioned Romania or not. And Iran. What used to be Kamchatka, but it's Russia. I think that looks like that's it. I don't see anything else. I was thinking that South Korea had some listeners there, but I don't see them right now. Yeah, Finland. I don't know if I said Finland or not. Probably did. So there you go. All over the world. My voice is going out all over the world to people who can't understand anything I'm saying. They probably just accidentally clicked on it, and that's where it showed up there. But I don't know. No, and I greatly appreciate everybody who listens. And I hope that I can bring more than just, woe is me and our country's doomed kind of message here. Because there is hope for our nation. And I do know one thing. I was really hoping, as when Trump was in office, the one thing I was praying for, I'm not saying he's not a believer. What I am saying, he's not really... He definitely, his principles and his policies definitely were, I'll say Christian friendly, Judeo-Christian friendly, biblically friendly. He definitely had that as his standard in terms of policy goes and in the history of the country, which was very refreshing to me to see someone actually say things like Merry Christmas and talk about the Bible and Scripture, even though, I know he's not, I'm not going to judge the guy, but, he's not, I wouldn't want him as a pastor. Okay, let's just say that. He's not going to be my pastor. And I wasn't expecting that. But as far as things in the country with regard to policy, the things that affect my life and the life of people around me, I had agreed with a lot of things, a lot of places he went with that. So interesting things happening. Here's a few things that the administration is doing now. I was kind of hoping I'd get Rabbi Rick's take on some of this. They're at the border. They're going to be putting up, they're probably going to be using the fence that it is laying out there that's not going to be put up now. Probably going to be building facilities for vaccination points for people coming across the border. Yeah. We don't have some people vaccinated here, but they're talking about setting up vaccination stations there already. That's great. Yeah. So they're going to do that, and they're going to, it's just unbelievable. So they're going to do that, and they're also looking at this new House bill that they're going to probably due under the radar while the impeachment trial is going on, starting on Monday. It's heavy taxation and restrictions on certain types of guns, certain types of ammunition, certain types of magazines. For not the kind you look at with pictures in them. The kind of the you know, not, you know, Newsweek magazine. It's going to be you know, the magazines you put bullets in, you put the gun, it's whatever. If you don't know what I'm talking about, then you don't know what I'm talking about. So I'm not going to explain it. I had had kind of some interesting thoughts on all that. Maybe Rabbi Rick will be in tomorrow, or maybe we can call him on the phone tomorrow. That might work. It might. The show might be a little bit later, but maybe we can call him on the phone. So it's just interesting stuff like that. But here's where I want to go with the show today, and I just want to say that there are things we can do. It's not all going to be doom and gloom. It is not going to be easy. It's going to require all of us to get involved. And the first place we get involved is on our knees. We have got to be praying for, and this is where I was going earlier. I was praying for to see Trump. Actually, I was hoping he would be kind of have this like born again, spirit-filled experience. That's really what I was praying for. And, you know, it wouldn't it be something if the entire nation saw that in a leader, in our leader, that were to happen. I don't have, now I will still pray for that for people on the left. I don't think that's going to happen with Joe. I'm not sure if he's, it could. I'm praying for that. I'm praying for mental health and restored understanding of Scripture. And a true experience with the living God. The holy fear of God would come over him, and that's a good kind of fear, a respect, a trembling kind of understanding of the awe of the presence of God. And that's what I'm praying for. And I'm a turning of the hearts of our nation is what we really need. And I think if that happened before the people, I think that would be a tremendous thing. Whether or not that can happen with people on the left, I don't know. This kind of gets back to what I was talking about this morning a little bit. The difference between the government taking the place of feeding the hungry and taking care of the homeless and the sick and the poor, and the government wants to step in and do those things because the people on the left, people who want the government to do those things, typically see government as their church because their God is government. And I know that's kind of tough to take, but that's kind of the way I see it. They see government as the answer. That was not God's plan. This is all in my humble opinion. So just take it for what it's worth. Maybe your opinion is totally different. But when I read Malachi and I see why we're supposed to tithe, not only is it good for us to do that kind of giving, it's good for our heart, it's good for our understanding, good for everything. It's good to give. And but you freely and joyfully give. How many of you freely and joyfully pay taxes? I mean, maybe we should, but I'm glad I can. And I know that my taxes take care of some things. Everybody says, well, what about roads and this and that? Well, okay, yeah, I pay property tax. I pay sales tax. I pay tax in my gasoline. It's not just about income tax. There's all kinds of other taxes you pay that are wrapped up in all kinds of things that you buy. And you know, you can't turn around without being taxed, basically. And it's going to get worse. It's going to get worse. And we have to understand that we have to be very careful and understand with our money, because the more the government programs step in, and we've seen this very clearly in the last month, the government doesn't just take money from us and then direct it directly to the people they say they're going to help. Some of it, much of it, a lot of it, sometimes goes all over the world. Most of that first stimulus bill that was passed back in the fall, guess where that went? Actually, was it in the fall or was it before that? It was in the fall. Guess where a lot of that went? I mean, a lot of it went out of the country. The second stimulus bill that came through, I think about 70% of it or 60% of it went outside the country. It was a ridiculous amount. And this is the typical way stuff works in Washington. It's very inefficient. It's very corrupt. It's much better for me to give locally to my church and have the church be the storehouse. Malachi says, so that there might be food in my house. Now, the tithe wasn't just giving money. It was giving your crops, the best of, you know, the 10% of your crops, 10% of whatever you produced. That was your tithe. And now we consider that money. But it was a physical offering for a physical blessing. So it wasn't just giving money to the local church so that you could have a social club to go to and you get spiritually fed. That's not what that was about. There was a physical need that the church was going to meet. The church was the safety net. The church was the social safety net and the community safety net. And that's the way God really intended it to be, wants it to be. Because guess why? That requires a relationship with people, with his people, with each other, and with the community. I have a relationship with my neighbor. And we're in this, and I give to them, they give to me. When I'm in trouble, whatever that's going to be, it is this community of dependence on each other, interdependence, you might call it. And that's God's intention, because that is at the forefront of God's heart, is relationship. He not only wants to restore our relationship with him, and this is where I have a problem with people who say, I don't have to go to church. I can have church at home. I believe in God, and I do all my stuff, and I can have church right here in my house. Yeah, sure, absolutely you can. You sort of. I mean, because, but when you look at the word church, and you realize koinonia, or the ecclesiastic meaning of the word church means gathering together, the group of believers. And that is the church. The church isn't a building. Church is people. You can worship God in every moment of every day of wherever you are, by yourself, whether you're in your car, whether you're with a thousand people, whether you're standing in the midst of 1,000 atheists, you can still worship God. But there is something about the church and forsaking the gathering of the saints and all that stuff. There's a good reason why we gather. So during this time, and I know that the COVID thing has tried to put an end to that. One of the first things they tried to shut down was the churches. Just keep in mind that the church is your community, a place where you can take your mind off these temporal things in the world for a little bit and think on things eternal. And remember and remind each other that God is in charge. That he has a plan, he's not caught unaware, and that he has provided for us in his word a map through these times. Because he's pretty much spelled it out as to what we're seeing now is definitely the birth pangs. We are seeing it with big tech and the crackdown that can happen, all the ways that people can be controlled and manipulated. We're seeing that now in real life. Who would have thought when they wrote the scripture, when John wrote the scripture on the island of Patmos, and he talked about all the, you know, he had this vision of the two witnesses that the whole world would see. How could that happen? How could everybody in the whole world see two witnesses laying in the streets of Israel? And then watch them rise from the dead and be called up into heaven. How is it going to be possible for everybody to see that? Well, everybody's got a phone. Everybody's got the internet. We got satellites. We got all kinds of stuff, all kinds of coverage all over the place. The entire world can watch an event at the same time. We are nearly at that point. There might be some remote areas where that's not possible, but when I was in Nigeria, when I was in Africa traveling around, I saw, this was many years ago, it's back in the 80s, there were antennas on top of grass huts. There were satellite antennas in some places closer to the cities. There were definitely satellite antennas in places where that you didn't think, you were miles from any kind of electricity, but they had a generator and they would run their generator to watch something. I mean, there's the pervasiveness of technology, people going from the third world to first world technology, going from the Stone Age to the electronic age within one generation, less than one generation. It's amazing what's happening in the world, and it has been happening for a while. So we are living in interesting times, and I just wanted to make that clear today that God is in control. God is in charge. He doesn't control people. Not in the sense that we think of control. And I know we can get into that a lot with the whole, he hardened Pharaoh's heart and all that stuff. We could talk about that all day, but I'm not going to go down that road right now. But it's just, there's a lot more hope out there, I think, than what people talk about. And you certainly don't hear about it in the news. That's for sure. So I just wanted to make that clear, if I haven't before. So that's really all I wanted to talk about tonight. I was hoping Rabbi Rick would be here and we could discuss a few things and have some laughs and cry and I could cook some omelets on my head. Nothing really happened today of course, I didn't really pay that much attention to the news today, as much as I usually do. I'm sure if I would have, there would have been something that would have really caused me to be upset. Now, I do know that Officer Sicknick that was laying in honor in the Capitol Rotunda, everybody had to make statements about him today. And that's fine, well and good. They are using him as a political optic. And they're going to go ahead and put him, I guess they're going to lay him at Arlington, I believe. And I bless him and his family and hope that they get through this tough time. And I would still like to know and like to see. I think it needs to be publicized as to why he died. I don't know that there's been a determinative autopsy done. If they're going to politicize it and blame the people who supposedly hit him over the head with a fire extinguisher, with all the questions, with all the cameras around in that area, I would think someone would know who struck that blow. Someone would have seen that happen. Somebody knows that they did that. Somebody knows that they have video of that. I would suspect that someone would be charged with that if that happened. There are about 15, the last I heard there were about 15 people who had been arrested and arrested and charged with criminal acts. I think that there was about 100 and some, I think that they had been rounded up for questioning. But I know that at last I heard there were 15. There probably has been more since I've heard that, because that was a couple days ago. That was several days ago, actually, last week, I believe. So, not sure where all that whole investigation is. But don't just soak up everything that the news says as and just go along with their narrative. Because I guarantee they're going to tell you the story, and along with the story are going to be, will be the narrative. So just try to, you know, sometimes turn down the volume a little bit, and or take a step back and think about the words that they chose to use, things that they said. Try to get a little bit more of an objective opinion about what's going on, because the objective reporter, at least in the legacy media, mainstream media, does not exist anymore. Very few people are not a part of that. Now, one other thing, and I should be able to find this article for tomorrow morning, because I really do want to put this together. I had some busy work I had to do today, and I didn't have much time to do this. But tomorrow morning, I really do plan on having some things, some sound bites. An individual was interviewed about the, you know, he is an analysis, and I think the name of the company is Voter Integrity Project. It's called the Voter Integrity Project or Vote Integrity Project. It's a real thing, and they are really doing actual work and combining and putting together real data. And they said they have already found more than enough votes that they can show in a court that were illegitimate, illegal, in, I think it was Arizona, Wisconsin, and one other state. I don't think it was Georgia or Pennsylvania. I believe it might have been Wisconsin or possibly Nevada. But it was enough votes to swing the election. And this is a very highly respected group of individuals. This is very hopeful for me. Now, I did some looking into it. And while we're on this subject, because I'm near the end of the show, I want to bring this up, because I always want to mention the election, but I also want to have some integrity in what I say about this. There, you know, I've talked about the math. I guess there was a post on Facebook. Now, so take this with a grain of salt, because the people who are trying to debunk this stuff, I do not trust. The people who are trying to make some of the points, I also have to take with a grain of salt, because I don't know if they're being honest or if this was just information they found someplace that they misunderstood. My understanding was that there were 135 million registered voters in the country. If you have that many voters, and you have, which I think there was, that sounds right. I think that's what they were saying. If there are that many registered voters, then, and you have what they're saying now is 159 million votes. I think that's what they said. Yeah, because we had. Yeah, because there was a bunch for the independents. Because I think Trump, they're saying Trump got 74 million, Biden got 81 million, and then there were, I think, about 4 million independents and other off candidates. I think it was 159 million total votes. Well, that's a problem, because you don't have enough registered voters to fill that void. Now, here's where it gets really screwy. The people who are debunking this say, no, that's not the total number of eligible voters. Now, they changed the matrix right there, because they'll say there are 230 million eligible voters. In other words, people who over the age of 18. Now, I don't know if they're including undocumented aliens, because I'm not sure where they're getting their statistical information or how they're compiling all that. But they're saying that, it was only a 66%, basically a 2/3 of the eligible voting community showed up to vote. So there's some hanky-panky even in the statistical analysis on both sides. Because the numbers that they were using were the numbers of people registered to vote in one or two in both parties. In other words, there are 130 million, 133 million registered voters for the primaries. And I think this is where the numbers got screwed up. The numbers of Republican and Democrat registered individuals is, I think, totals about 133 million. Independents and anybody else from any other party that wants to, you know, if they're independent or if they're conservative, I think in some states you can actually be registered as a conservative instead of a Republican. I think New York is that way. So all of those different differentiations or differential issues. I can't think of the words right now. It's been a long day. So here, I know the problem. I need some more sweet tea. Brain food. The numbers are a little bit askew from the people who are trying to make the point that, there is only 133 million voters, registered voters. Now, the people on the other side of it who are trying to debunk this thing are saying that there are 230 million eligible voters. So they changed the description. This is a problem. Now, in some states, you can show up the same day you vote. In some states, they were mailing out ballots to people who didn't even exist. And then there was the issue of the mail-in ballots where they say that there were 2.3 million ballots mailed out and they got 3.2 million back or whatever. I looked into that a little bit as well. Maybe it was the other way around. But basically, they are claiming that didn't happen in Pennsylvania, that there were about 500,000 ballots that they mailed out that did not return, that there was 500,000 more mailed out than what they returned. That is very controversial, because my understanding is that many of the ballots that were counted had not been in return mail. In other words, they were not even folded. So are they counting those ballots? So there's two different numbers here. There's actual numbers that were actually certified, that actually had records of being put in the mail and sent out. And then there are mail-in ballots that were printed and never mailed out. So are they counting the numbers of printed ballots, or are they counting the number of actual ballots that got mailed out? This is very suspicious, because I cannot find the numbers. No. They change their narrative. They change their words when they speak about it. And it's very cloak and dagger, and it's just very. But the good thing about this whole thing is this investigation with this particular individual, this organization that has hard evidence now. Like, it's like they have the actual numbers, and they are going through them, and their statistical analysis of the data that should have been done by those who were certifying the election. Now, don't get your hopes up and think that they're going to overturn this thing and Trump's going to be back in office. Even though for 4 years, the left thought that they could do that with Trump. They thought they could remove him from office because of his supposed collusion with Russia that they never proved. But they still talk about it. Hillary Clinton still thinks that even on the day of the deadly insurrection in Washington, that Trump was on the phone with Putin. She has actually said he was on the phone with. She thinks it'd be very interesting to get his phone records and find out what his conversation with Putin was that day. What is wrong with these people? It's like the rage has left them so blind Their hatred and rage for an individual has left them so blind they cannot see beyond their nose. So, right now, that's all I'm going to talk about. I'm going to try to keep this under an hour. So, I thank you for listening. And I thank you for, especially if you share this podcast, or you share the link, or you subscribe. I really appreciate that. Because it's, right now, there's not a very easy way to put this out there. I mean, I could jump through all the hoops and pay money for advertising and all those things. To promote it, boost the post or whatever. And I'd rather see it grow organically. And just, if people are enjoying it, then that's what I want to have happen. If you don't enjoy it, don't listen. If you do enjoy it, share it with people that you think might like it. I'd much rather have to build this podcast up with that kind of a base, with that kind of a, community, than to just do it on my own. So, God bless everybody. Have a great night, and I'll be doing another show tomorrow morning. And have a good night. God bless everybody.